always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil, talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news, got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked on heat. Always locked on heat. Keep it locked on heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. Doing a solo recap today. David, my usual co-host, is covering the Magic's game against the Knicks, so I am doing the recap solo. Talking about the Miami Heat's 126-115 win over the Phoenix Suns. Look, it's Phoenix Suns. They're not a good team. The Heat are, we're trying to figure out what they are. And in trying to figure out what they are, Eric Spoelstra started a new starting lineup. We've got Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters, Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, and Hassan Whiteside. So Justice Winslow starting at power forward. So no Okero White. Okero White didn't play at all. And this was a new starting lineup for Spoelstra, and it seems like he may have stumbled into something that worked. With Dragic and Waiters really running the backcourt, and Josh Richardson and Winslow sort of spreading the floor a little bit. Now, when you think of Justice Winslow, you don't think of a guy who does spread the floor. Even he had a good game tonight, but for what he's able to do, other than shooting, obviously, but in the way that he's able to cut to the basket, in the way that he's able to make plays on the offensive glass, opponents have to be aware of what he's doing. We talk about spacing. We just think about, well, can he shoot threes or can he not shoot threes? And there's a lot more that goes into it. And Eric Spoelstra has said things like that several times, and a lot of times about Winslow. I mean, he sets good screens, cuts to the basket. Opposing defenses have to be aware of what he's doing. They can play off of him, and they do play off of him. But in general, they have to be aware with what he's doing. They can't just leave him alone. And this seems to be a lineup that worked. And granted, it's the Phoenix Suns. They're not very good. But what worked tonight should work moving forward. Miami plays Utah on Friday. I'll be interested to see if they stick with this starting unit. I think they should. And I think they will. But I think they should, because it worked, right? Justice Winslow had one of the best games of his season. 14 points on 5-11 shooting. Made two of his four three-pointers. I love that he took four three-pointers. He had six rebounds, five assists. And outside of that, Eric Spoelstra really just stuck to eight guys. There was no Okero White in the starting unit. And Spoelstra didn't play Okero White at all. Not at all. The Heat were without Tyler Johnson. He took the game off. He was dealing with an illness of some kind, so he didn't play. So Wayne Ellington ended up playing that six-man role. Wayne Ellington was actually the first guy off the bench for Miami. He played 34 minutes tonight. But Spoelstra kept it tight. He kept it with eight guys. He kept it with the starting five, James Johnson, Wayne Ellington, and Kelly Olynyk off the bench. And I think that worked really well. In a lot of previous games, you see guys like Okero White getting a lot of run, Bam Adebayo getting a lot of run. Sometimes they'll put Jordan Mickey in there. And the Heat will play with 9 or 10 guys, or 10 or 11 guys. Tonight was just 8. And going forward, I could see it being 9 when Tyler Johnson plays. I could see Wayne Ellington not playing 34 minutes, which I believe is a season high for him. I could see Tyler Johnson coming in, playing his usual allotment of minutes, and then Wayne Ellington getting some minutes, and then keeping it to a tight 9. And if that's the case, I like this unit. Look, Okero White, I like what he can bring. He's consistent, but don't mistake consistency for needing to start. I mean, he's a nice player. He's not a starter. He's a below replacement level player. He's a bench guy, and it's nothing against him, but that's what he is. He's a bench guy. I mean, he was barely in the league last year, and he's good for a couple minutes here and there, but he shouldn't be starting. And I was wondering, in the last few games, when does Spoelstra move away from that? Because it is pointless to play a guy like that for the first 8 minutes of a game, or whatever it might be, the first 4 minutes of a game, and then bring James Johnson in. It didn't make sense to me. I like the idea of putting Winslow in that spot, because he should be playing that position. He should be playing a small ball four. That's where he's probably best. And we saw some of Winslow as a point forward, and he had that opportunity because he played 37 minutes tonight. I mean, and when you play that many minutes, you have an opportunity to play some small ball four and then play some point forward when you know, either Waiters or Dragic aren't in the game, and especially when Tyler Johnson is taking the game off. And so we saw a lot of different versions of Winslow, and he was able to have one of the best games of his career because he wasn't thinking about getting in there and just, oh my gosh, I have to make the open jumpers when they come to me. He was able to just kind of play, right? And when you're playing power forward, you're not necessarily expected to be a perimeter-oriented player, so he was able to just kind of do whatever felt right and kind of let the game come to him. I thought it was a really good position for him. Phoenix, in general, is a smaller team. They play Marquese Chriss at power forward. They start him. Chriss is tall, but he's lean. And so I think Winslow was able to defend him pretty well, and he's not necessarily a threatening player really in any way. He's still very young, one of the youngest players in the league. But it'll be interesting to see if, against Utah, which is typically a team that runs big, if Spoelstra will keep Winslow in there, and if he does, how Winslow will fare against the larger lineups. And then with that group, you're kind of trimming the fat, right? And a lot of people wondering, why isn't Bam playing? Bam's a rookie, and he shows flashes that are exciting, but he's not necessarily impactful yet. He's not. He has flashes where he is. He is impactful, but on a consistent level, he's not. And neither is O'Carroll White. So you just play the best guys. And we know James Johnson and Tyler Johnson are better off coming off the bench. They are more comfortable coming off the bench. It seems like Kelly Olynyk is more comfortable coming off the bench, and certainly Wayne Ellington is as well. And you can kind of see if he's got the hot hand or not. And tonight he sort of did. He was 4 of 9 from 3-point range, so he played a lot. But this is where the group makes sense. And Eric Reed mentioned it on the broadcast. He's like, I think the Heat stumbled into their starting unit. And I think they did. This should be it going forward. They should at least be testing this. I like it. It moves really well. They move quickly. There's space for Dragic and Waiters on the inside. There's space for Whiteside to get vertical and finish over the rim on the end of pick and rolls. It worked. I like what we saw. Granted, it was against the Phoenix Suns, not a good group. But sometimes you just need a win like that, a game like that, to just sort of get going. Really quick, fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite fantasy app. It's called Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. Draft was launched in 2014 with the idea that the draft is the best part of playing fantasy. The only problem is that you only get to draft once in your season-long leagues. And traditional daily fantasy is dominated by sharks that can be intimidating. Not with Draft. On Draft, you play with a live snake draft, no salary cap, with other people. Plus, there's no multi-entry or player overlap, so you don't have to worry about fantasy sharks gaming the system. Draft is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night. Pick a draft and begin. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. Here's my favorite part. After the draft, there's little to no lineup management. Just set it and forget it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. And of course, you play for cash. Drafts start from just $1, and they go up from there. So there's a draft for everyone. Again, no salary cap, live snake drafts, no losses because you forgot to make a sub for an injured player at the last minute, and no fantasy sharks. Draft leans into what is best about fantasy sports, and you can play whenever you want. Join Draft today. Download the app, just search Draft in your app store, and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com. For a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOHEAT and you can play your first game and win real money by using the promo code LOHEAT on your first deposit. So Goran Dragic had probably his best game of his career. 29 points on 5 of 11, I'm sorry, 9 of 19 shooting. 9 rebounds and 4 assists. He had one of those games where it just sort of creeps up on you a little bit. He just kind of maintained throughout the game. He played a team high 38 minutes, and he got to the line 10 times and made all 10 of his free throws. This was by far the best game he had, and you know, the refs were calling things a little, they called some ticky-tack fouls here and there. Both teams ended up taking, the Heat took 35 free throws in the game, and Phoenix took 30. And the 35 for Miami is way above, it's almost 10 more free throws a game than their season average. And they made 80% of them. They were 28 from 35 from the line. A big part of that was Goran Dragic getting to the rim, being aggressive, as he always is, but now getting the calls. And that's what you see when he's able to do that. He was just aggressive all night. That's reflective in the 9 rebounds. I mean, he was crashing the boards. He was just trying to play near the rim. And that's what you like to see. He was the leader for Miami here on a night where Tyler Johnson wasn't there to kind of lead the bench. On a night where they were just playing with a new starting unit that was really suited for what Goran Dragic was able to do, because you've got all these guys around him who are just available. They're outlets for his drive and kick, which we know he's so good at. Even, you know, Justice Winslow, he went 2 of 4 from three-point range. Josh Richardson is always a threat from the perimeter. Deion Waiters, of course, is a threat from the perimeter. Whiteside, he hooked up on Whiteside with a couple of alley-oops with some lobs. And so if Dragic is Miami's best player, and just to go back to the starting lineup and the rotations that Spoelstra used, you know, playing Wayne Ellington, who's a great shooter, Kelly Olynyk, who's a good shooter at the center position, James Johnson, who went 2 of 4 from three-point range, and he's starting to find his stroke. This is something that really, in the way that Spoelstra rotated his players, really kind of leans into what Dragic does best, which is drive and kick, right? That's what he does, and he's Miami's best player, and you try to build around your best player. You don't think of Dragic as a guy who you typically build around, but look, he's what the Heat got, right? They traded 2 first-round picks for him. That's what they have. He's having a great year already, and so this suits him. Justice Winslow, we already talked about, 14 points. His best game of his season so far. Would love to see him continue to do this. Like to see him playing point forward, especially in the second half. That's going to be more of an option. It'll be interesting to see if when Tyler Johnson comes back, if that's still something that's there for him to do. We saw James Johnson playing some point forward as well. So there's a lot of ball handling responsibilities out there. Josh Richardson, who's been off shooting the last couple of games, he was off tonight, 2 of 5 from the field. Missed both three-pointers that he took, only 4 points on the night. Played incredible defense. I mean, he had the highest plus-minus on the team, so don't take it. He played a great game. He was a plus 13 for the game, and that was all because of what he did on the defensive end. But offensively, he's been struggling, and he's been typically this season asked to run the second unit offense or handle the ball a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see if Spoelstra will take the ball out of his hands so that he can focus more on just kind of getting that shot going. And look, that's a thing that happens for all players. They go through streaks of cold streaks and hot streaks, and right now Josh Richardson's in a cold streak. Hassan Whiteside, 23 points on 8 of 11 shooting, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks, and an assist. A rare assist for Hassan Whiteside. Look, Whiteside didn't play well. He got yanked in Miami's last game against Golden State. The coaching staff and his team were disappointed with his effort. And he came back. He bounced back. So credit to Whiteside. Look, he bounced back. And in 28 minutes, he scored 23 points. He did it on 11 shots. He got to the line. A lot of those free throws came at the end, sort of in garbage time. But he was 7-12 from the line. And he played really well. And look, Alex Len, the Phoenix's starting center, he's not very good. He's just kind of their starting center by default. And so, you know, it was kind of an easy opponent for Whiteside to go against. But like I said before, sometimes you need these sort of games to just kind of remind yourself, okay, this is what I can do. Now I just need to do it against bigger competition. And that was hopefully what this ends up being for Miami, especially smack dab in the middle of this road trip. But Whiteside, got to give him credit for just kind of bouncing back here and really just figuring out what he needed to do. He didn't. There was a couple shots, of course, that he had that weren't very great. There was a point in the second half where Goran Dragic brought the ball up. He called for a screen for Whiteside. Whiteside basically refused to do it and said, "No, give me the ball. I've got T.J. Warren on me." And instead of going to back in T.J. Warren, who's typically a small ball power forward at this point, and who Whiteside probably has 70 or 80 pounds on him and is much stronger than him, instead Whiteside just kind of put up a shot from like 11 feet out where he should be backing him in to get closer to the rim. And Whiteside's known to do those things every once in a while. And he forced up a couple of shots, but in general, when he's playing a team like Phoenix, you can get away with it, and you can get away with it and end up going 8 for 11. We still need to see a little bit more from Whiteside. Focus on getting deep post position, doing your homework before the pass into the post. We need to see more of that, and frankly, we need to see the Heat's guards and facilitators, whether it be Dragic, Waiters, James Johnson, Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, whoever it might be. They need to challenge him to do that, and they basically have to say, no, you're not going to get the ball unless you do your homework first, and this is something that we need to see more from Whiteside. All right, quick reminder, make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On NBA channel, which brings you all 30 Locked On NBA podcasts in one easy-to-follow stream in your podcast app. Our recommendation, subscribe to the Locked On Heat so you can get every episode automatically every day. Then subscribe to Locked On NBA channel so you can scout Miami's opponents and keep up with the most interesting storylines in the league. Also, be sure to check out the NFL side like Locked On Dolphins, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Up next, the Miami Heat play the Utah Jazz. That's going to be on Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern time as Miami just continues with this road trip. Look, the Utah Jazz are still a pretty good team. Of course, they lost Gordon Hayward, but they're big. They're going to challenge Miami. They've got Rudy Gobert in the middle, of course, and that's going to be a much bigger challenge than Alex Len was for Whiteside, and that's going to be a good game. We're not going to have a recap for it because it's Friday night, but if it's interesting enough, maybe we'll talk. If there's something that we can pull away from it, maybe we'll talk about it Sunday night for the Monday morning podcast. But make sure that you get those mailbag questions in. We've already got a few coming in that we'll save for later on, possibly. Maybe we'll do a mailbag for the last podcast this week. We'll find out. But look, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your comments and questions for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show to get podcasts automatically every day. And go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.